Take a moment of silence and pray that the Holy Spirit would open your hearts and minds to the riches of His Word. So let's pray silently, and then I will lead us in prayer in a moment. Lord, your word is a light to our path and a lamp unto our feet. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might hear your word for us this day. Amen. So our text this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In our Bible study on Tuesdays, we've been looking at the book of 1 Corinthians. But I want you to hear what Paul writes now in this 12th chapter. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all, and everyone to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each individually as He wills. This is the word of the Lord. In our Tuesday Bible study, we've been looking at the book of 1 Corinthians, and we've come to understand that there's a theme that ties that book together, and it's the theme of the unity of the body. In the Church of Corinth, there were many disruptions to that. Excuse me. There were many things that had risen that would threaten the unity, and the Apostle Paul remembered the prayer of Christ in John chapter 17, as I'm sure it was lingering in his mind, that we might be one just as He is one with the Father. And that was so crucial because Christ understood that the believability of the gospel was at stake in our ability to be one. It is the believability of the gospel that is at stake. Now, in all honesty, we've done a miserable job with that. The church for the last 2,000 years has split and divided and torn ourselves asunder right and left. In the town that I came from, the little town of Sepulpa, Oklahoma, a town of 20,000 people, at last count, we had 106 churches. Let that sink in for a moment. 106 churches. Thank you, dear. 106 churches in a town of 20,000. Why? Because every time someone got mad at somebody, off they would go to start another church. Wow. Paul, when he came to the town of Corinth, it was an important town. He spent 18 months there. Preached the good news of the kingdom of God. There was a church that was established there. Paul left after 18 months. Apollos came in and kind of nurtured that church along. But the church still had a lot of problems. They were people, just like you and me. And so they began early on, and Paul corrected the problem in chapter 1, 2, and 3. They began to divide. It's what I call the cult of personality. Well, I like Paul. I mean, he's so logical and he's so wonderful. Well, and then you had the group that said, oh, Paul, you can take him. I want Apollos. Apollos reasons philosophically with us, and he's much richer and deeper. And then you had the group that said, well, fooey on Paul and fooey on Apollos. I want Peter. Peter's got passion. Peter's going to take action. And then you had the group I call the super spiritual. They were the ones that said, well, well-intentioned. We're of Jesus. And how are you going to argue with that one? Right? It's where we all should be, but I'm not sure that that was said in that day and in that context with quite the same spirit that it should have been. And so Paul reminds them of the importance that any of them are merely servants of God. It's God who should get the glory. It's God who's doing this great work. We've been graced by God. You and I have been graced by God. The question and where it comes to meet us is, what are we doing with that grace? So in chapter 12, the normal way of treating this text would be to focus on the diversity of the gifts, because the text would say we've all been gifted and God has placed us in the body as He wills. And that's true. But in that, I think we often miss the point of verse 7. To each of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Why? For the common good. Behind that is even another phrase that we often overlook. And it's the issue of the lordship of Christ, and what does it mean to say that Jesus is Lord? And so we read in verses 2 and 3, you know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean to say that Jesus is Lord? When I was a young man, it's hard to remember back that far. I was in my 20s. I was in the Atlanta airport. That I remember. It was an amazing experience in and of itself. But nonetheless, I won't bore you with the gory details. But I was confronted with someone that came up to me and they said to me, you need to say Jesus is Lord. I thought, well, why do I need to say that? Because Jesus is Lord. To which I think I've told you before, I tend to be a little bit of a smart aleck, and that's not a spiritual gift. Trust me, it's a liability. To which I said, well, Jesus is Lord, you're absolutely correct. And that's all I said. You can fast forward back to Sepulpa, Oklahoma. I'm driving down the streets of that town. And there was a church that will remain nameless. I knew the pastor well. I could give him a hard time. And he had a church sign out. You know, one of those signs that you put the letters out by hand and had a message on it. And so I was going by one day. It was in the middle of the week. And he was putting up the sign. It was about Mother's Day. And he said, God can't be everywhere. That's why He made mothers. Put the brakes down. Backed up. Dan, have you thought about that for a moment? What do you mean? Well, I thought God was omnipresent. Put the car in drive and took off down the road. Let that sink in for a while. It wasn't 2 weeks later. I go back down, and there's Dan out putting his sign up again. Jesus is Lord over Sepulpa. Put the brakes on, backed up. Dan, have you thought about that? I said, what about Tulsa? Oklahoma City? He looked at me and he said, Johnson, you need to quit coming down this road. But you see, we've reduced these things to words that we say, and we've missed the whole point. The gifting that Paul's unfolding in this chapter is an outgrowth of the fact that Jesus is indeed Lord of the church, that He's the head of the church. This is His church. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And so for Paul, it all came back to that. And we've reduced the listing of the gifts in chapter 12 to this individualistic focus where we need to look into ourselves and determine what our gift is. And there's a point for that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But we've reduced it to what I call spiritual navel gazing. And we look inward and we decide, well, I've got this gift. And I want to say that's wonderful and that's great. But the question is this. If Jesus is Lord, are we using our gifting for the common good? It's a whole other question, right? Paul says it this way in verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You see, we've all been gifted by the grace of God. We all have those talents and passions that fire our soul and move us in the very core of our being. And we've been gifted, and those gifts are valuable, and those gifts are necessary. And the purpose of these gifts is for the common good, for the building up of the body of Christ. That's the purpose of the gifts, for the edification of community. Of community. One of the great gifts to the church was Martin Luther King Jr. This is Martin Luther King Day the other day. We celebrated on Monday. But King challenged us to live in light of community for the common good. He would say this, all of us can be great, for all of us can serve. He would remind us that we've learned to fly the air like birds, we've learned to swim the seas like fish, and yet we haven't learned to walk the earth like brothers and sisters. Gifts that God gives for the common good. You see, that is indeed what Jesus Christ was all about. And if we declare that Jesus is Lord, that means more than words on a page and words that we utter. It means that you and I, by the grace of God, seek to live out the Lordship of Christ in every facet of our being. One of the earliest confessions of the church was that Jesus Christ was Lord. Are we living the Lordship of Christ and using our gifts for their intended purpose, for the common good? You see, the reality is you have been gifted by the grace of God. God's given you a gift. He's placed you in a body. we stewards of the gifts and the talents that God sovereignly has given to us. To confess Jesus as Lord, to confess that Jesus is God, that He is sovereign, to confess and to live out the reality that He is in charge of this place. We cannot live that out apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. Listen again to what Paul writes. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them in everyone. You've been gifted. You've been gifted for the common good. I want to leave you with a word of encouragement, something else we hear from Paul later on in the book. Because quite often we wonder whether our gifts are necessary or important. Paul's going to expand on that in a portion of the text we'll look at next week, that we all have different functions in the body, right? Have you ever thought much about your foot? I never thought about my foot. Exactly my point. Until the ball of my left foot started hurting, and then every time I took a step, guess what I thought about? I thought about my foot, and I began to wonder if it would ever get to where it wasn't hurting when I walked. Paul will say this, none of you are unimportant or unnecessary in the body of Jesus Christ. You've been gifted by God for the common good. We're celebrating 60 years in this church. 60 years of gifted people using their gifts to the glory of God for the common good. I'm a huge Yogi Berra fan. I doubt you're going to hear many sermons in which you'll hear Yogi Berra quoted. I love his quotes. Cut the pizza into four pieces. I'm not hungry enough to eat eight. You got to think about Yogi. He said, you know, you can observe a lot by watching. Or this one, he hits from both sides of the plate. He's amphibious. Yogi dropped out of school in the eighth grade. He began to work and help his family out. He was in a gunboat, saw action on D-Day. I'm told he could have received a Purple Heart, but he never completed the paperwork because he didn't want his mother to know how dangerous it was over there. When the Yankees had a special day to honor their retired players, they're on the jumbo screen were the names of former players who had died. Yogi leaned over and told Phil Rizzuto, I hope I don't live long enough to see my name on that screen. Quote I want to leave you with is perhaps the most famous. I think it meets us in this text. You were wondering how I was going to tie Yogi Berra into this. It ain't over till it's over. Till it's over. Even when life on this earth is over, people of faith believe that it's not over. And indeed, I would tell you that if we've lived out the Lordship of Christ by the power of His Holy Spirit, we're going to hear from the lips of our Lord one day, well done. Well done. A good and faithful servant. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Amen. Today, we're going to affirm our faith using the words from the brief statement of faith of our church. So I would invite you to stand and join with me in Christian I would ask you, what is it that you believe? In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You may be seated.